Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Give it a real good go against Premier League opposition, but fall just short as Norwich City progress to the next round of the FA Cup. Welcome to Charlton Live. Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendez, and on this evening's show, we'll be looking back at this afternoon's FA Cup tie with Norwich City. The Addicts fall into a 1-0 defeat at the Valley, but that doesn't come anywhere near telling the full story. Charlton played really well, spurned a few opportunities, and the basement boys in the Premier League, Norwich City, just found a winning goal with 10 minutes left on the clock. Charlton unable to get back into it after that, despite hitting the crossbar right at the end. So we'll look back at that game. Let's hear from the people joining us on the show. First up, Mr. Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate.
Absolute pleasure. I spent all day with you today. We had breakfast together. We did the commentary on Radio London together. And now you're doing this with me. I'm getting sick of you.
Oh, I thought something else was going to come about there. I thought you were going to say you enjoyed your day and you can't wait to do it again. But it's been a good day, mate. Good day. Just a shame about the result, which obviously we're going to talk about more. But I think a positive day. I think I'll take the positives out today. Yeah, I know some are going to take the negatives, but you know, that's life.
Talking about negatives, you're not getting back into your photography career again, are you, Nathan? Nathan became the photographer to the stars today when he was Ian Abraham, the moose from Talksport. He was the one who got to take a photo of him today. Such an honour. And also joining us, Mr. Welshy Wallin, Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
All good, mate. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, enjoyed your tweet after the game that saying Norwich are really bad, even worse than you were expecting.
I mean, just so bad. So bad. I mean, I know we lost the game, but yeah, they were awful.
Yeah, I mean, so are we implying that we could also finish bottom of the Premier League based on what we've seen so far?
We'd do better. We'd give it a better go than they have this season, that's for sure.
Lovely stuff. So on to the tonight's show then. We will hear the highlights from Charlton TV of that FA Cup tie with Norwich City. We're here, of course, from the Addicts manager, Johnny Jackson. I was able to have a quick chat with him pitchside after the game. Hear his thoughts on the performance and the injuries to Connor Washington and Jaden Stockley, who were both missing today. We've got Ryan Innes as well, the big defender, back in the side again today. Thought he played really well, even after picking up a booking early on. He put in some wonderful challenges. I spoke to him after the game, got some interesting stuff from Ryan about his contract as well, so make sure you tune into that at the end. And of course, we've got your tweets and your emails as well to come, so plenty to get your teeth into on Charlton Live this evening. And before, Nathan, we hear the highlights, I mean, we gave it a good old go there today. You know, Norwich City side in the Premier League went reasonably strong, but we forced them to have to go even stronger at half-time and bring on the likes of Timu Puki, because we ran that game in the first half.
Oh, 1,000,000%. I think I went into the game with the sort of mindset that it was a free hit. Sort of the pressure was on Norwich a little bit. And I think we dominated play. We wanted it more. We won our individual battles, and we just kept getting in down the side, which we needed to. You know, with Kabak and Grant Hanley, two experienced physical centre halves. With Lecco and Mason Burstow up front, you're not going to win those aerial battles. Although there was a few times that Mason did win them. They're physical players, and yeah, we just kept getting in down the side and forced, you know, Dean Smith changing at half time, like you say, bringing on a new left back. But even when they did that, they didn't really gain much of a foothold in the game, and the moment was decided by the composure of Timo Pukki, and then yeah, we had a little bit of a flurry, a little bit of bit of the end. But, really positive performance. Yeah, I know we lost, and I know it's another game we haven't scored, but sometimes you've got to sit back and go, do you know what? Apart from it, that bit of luck falling for us, we couldn't really have done any more, really.
Mm. And as Nathan says, you take the positives from today's game, Tom, and we'll also look at the negatives, the fact that we didn't score a goal, which, again, has just become a little bit of an underlining thing after our performances recently. But I mean, you can't be harsh after a game like that against a Premier League side, can you?
I don't think so. No, I think we come out of that with total credit. And you mentioned the two strikers that are out just at the start of the show, and I think I'd like to think if either of them were in that side today, I think we go on and we win that game, to be honest, because we had a couple of chances in that first half and likes of Stockley or Connor probably put them away. And I don't mean any disrespect to someone like Mason Burstow coming in, by the way, because obviously very young. And I thought actually he handled himself very well and handled the occasion well. I just think sometimes you need that experience and that clinical finishing that we were lacking. I thought apart from that, Nath's spot on. There were large parts of that game, particularly the start of that second half and large parts of that first half, where we totally dominated them. We moved the ball around better than they did. And all of that is still there, and that's a positive. I thought the link-up play was good, the midfield looked good. You mentioned Innes at the start, I thought he was magnificent. So there's plenty of positives coming in, and the likes of, well, I say the likes of Crewe and Cheltenham shouldn't give us as good a game, but to be honest, they might be better, because I was so sort of disappointed or embarrassed for Norwich fans, really, because they were so poor. But, you know, we're out of the cup now. I mean, league was always our priority anyway. And yeah, we've said it several weeks now. We need strikers. And once we've got strikers back, well, hopefully some new ones in the building and Connor and Jaden back up top, I'm sure the goals will come back. So again, I'm not worried about that at all.
Lovely stuff. Well, let's have a listen to the highlights then of a really entertaining day at the Valley, the FA Cup tie against Norwich. On Charlton TV, your commentators were Greg Stubbley and Terry Smith.
But Lico just got a heavy touch and allowed Kabak to bring it forward. And Norwich will spring. They've got five men in this attack. What a great tackle by Innes. Fantastic challenge by Ryan Innes. He's hurt himself. But what a challenge that was. And then Gilby finds Lee on the left-hand side. Going to cut in on his right. Gets a shot away. Oh! Lost the post. Super move from Charlton. Started by Ryan Innes' tackle. Gilby then finds Lee. Cut back in on his right. And it was inches away from curling into the left-hand corner.
Henderson's kick forward towards Innes on this left-hand side. Innes jumps. Perrinson flicks it on. And Elliot Lee will get on the end of this for Charlton on the left-hand side. Lee with the ball in the box towards Lee. Goal! Who couldn't score with his left foot from about 5 yards out.
What a chance that is. Innes with the faintest of touches from the clearance by Henderson, but the ball from Purrington to pick out Lee was a great one over his head. Lee spotted Lico running into the edge of the 6-yard box, picked him out perfectly, and Lico got underneath it and sent it into the Jimmy Seed stand.
That's a great opportunity. Purrington takes all the way back to Ryan Innes. Drills forward to Purrington, keeps it in. Lee out towards Burstow. Nice 1-2. Elliot Lee inside to Gilby. Gilby thinks about a shot. Goes for it. Krull parries it and somehow goes over the bar. Gilby struck it well enough. It just bounced in front of Krull. It almost carried it over the crossbar in the end.
When the shot came away, you thought, straight down Krull's throat. It'll be an easy one to deal with. And Krull managed to make an easy shot. Look at an absolute worldie.
Inside to Sorensen. Across to McLean. McLex thinks about a shot. Goes for it. It's a powerful effort. It's over the bar. And I think Charlton would have been happy for McLean to hit it from there. But he did catch it well. Kenny McLean. Jarsini goes to take the cross. And there is the half-time whistle. And while there's a little bit of frustration at the end of that first half, so far, so good for Johnny Jackson. His Charlton side looking for some support. Goes back to Dobson. Dobson towards Lee. That's a lovely control. Lee across. Saved by Krull. Back out to Elliot Lee.
The ball away up towards
Burstow. Does well to get there ahead of Hanley. Burstow needs support. Burstow will go for goal. He did have Lico to his left. Did have Jarosimi to his right. Had a shot in the end. It was over the bar.
Oh, you could write the stories yourself if that had found the top left-hand corner. What a strike. Not a million miles away.
Norwich left-hand side. Ball across to Pukki. It lays it off and it's a shot which almost wrong-footed to Henderson. And that's Norwich's best chance. McLean with the effort and Henderson in the end. It was fairly comfortable for the Charlton goalkeeper. Shika. It's a lovely run by Sargent. Sargent inside the parents here cuts back. Sargent looking for some support, goes for goal and drags it miles wide and really should have done better. That's the best opening for Norwich.
Great defending by Jason Pearce, so didn't commit. Held him up slightly beyond him. Can he keep it in? Yes, he can. Davison on the left. Still in possession, looking for support. Ball out to the edge of the box and Lee. Edge of the penalty area, looking to shape for a shot. Over the bar and into the cupboard end.
But Davison's really made an impact since coming on. And that's what is really good to see. It's a young player. As I said, it's had a bit of a difficult week and has come on and has made a difference getting to the ball
short
first.
Lico's looking for it. Oh, he almost took it off Krull's feet. He manages to get the clearance away. Purrington can only head it to Sargent. Then McLean finds Pukki and he's gone beyond Jason Pearson. He's into the penalty area, Pukki. Henderson comes out, ball across to Rashika. Easy goal.
That was really undeserved, though, has to be said, but the danger sign on that side was coming. We've done exactly what I was just talking about. When the ball comes forward, the diagonal ball, when two players are committing, I think it was Purrington again and maybe Gunter who've committed, trying to get to the ball first, and that just leaves space behind. Just let them hit it and pick up the second ball. You not always have to get to that first ball.
Six additional minutes. Free kick comes in deep, looking for Pearce. Gets his head there, back across, and it's in. It gets the post. Lee with the header against the crossbar, rather.
Oh,
agony for
it.
Charlton. So close to getting back on level terms, and it's away for a goal kick.
I don't believe it. It's Purrington with the header. It's off the bar.
Is it Purrington? I beg his pardon.
I think it was Purrington. Pearce wins the initial header, and he's just hit the bar. Comes back, and Lee tries a speculative overhead kick, and Blackett Taylor was there to potentially hit the target. I mean, Charlton couldn't have come closer today, Till. They really couldn't.
Pukki turns into the area, but the referee says enough's enough. And the game is over. Charlton's foray into the FA Cup is also over as this third round tie ends in a win for the visitors. But Charlton doesn't tell the story of the game by any stretch.
Oh, Nathan, how agonising was that header onto the crossbar from Ben Purrington. Oh, we were out of our seats. We thought it was in.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was just that it sort of screened a little bit of QPR, but you know, when it sort of went back to Dills and then Dills clipped it in the box, and you know, and then I think when Innes went off, I was a bit concerned about our set pieces because obviously we lost that sort of that superior height advantage with Innes there. But yeah, Purrington again popping up. I thought he had a good game today, Purrington. So he had popped in, hit the bar, and then Lee tried the overhead kick, and then Corey was there that probably would have had a go at him, saying I could have had an easy tap in, but it wasn't to be. Sometimes it fools you, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, it was. Oh, I don't know what I would have done if that went in, because I just seem to. I always seem to have games like that, last minute goals.
The BBC would have had to publish that if that had gone in. Tom, you know, the game, I'd, I'd, listened back to the first 5 minutes and I thought, well, we were on the back foot for a couple of minutes, but only that. And then we really grew into it and we felt like the side in the first half that looked like they were going to break the deadlock. And we had two or three chances, which we'll come to shortly, but the performance was so encouraging. And what about, I mean, George Dobson in the middle, every time Norwich came forward, they found a George Dobson-shaped wall in the way.
Yeah, him and Ryan. I know Ryan made a couple of brilliant tackles and, as you say, Dobson just shielding that back four or back five, has done that now for pretty much ever since Jacko came in. I thought he was, again, exceptional today. And yeah, it's like a very basic way of me judging a half of football there, because I sit up at the covered end, is how much of the game has been played kind of at our end of the pitch. And that first half, the ball was very rarely down our end. As you say, that first 5 minutes, which you expect, you know, they are a Premier League team. They had a bit of the ball. But after that, so much of the game was taking place either in the middle of the pitch or in that down towards the Jimmy Seed, which shows, you know, I know possession was pretty much 50-50, but territory-wise, it just seemed like that was the case. And obviously, it proved, because at half-time, as you said earlier, Dean Smith was forced into that triple change just to try and shake things up. And I see a few people say we didn't really create enough clear-cut chances, and obviously that's the case because we didn't win the game. But again, our possession and the way we're playing and the way we're moving the ball is very, very good and hasn't really changed, I don't think, since Jacko came in. I think that level has always been there. It's just the lack of goals in these recent few weeks. And that's because we've had our strikers out. So, yeah, I was just not really worried at any point in that first half that we were going to concede. And considering we were playing a Premier League team, however bad they were, that was, you know, I wasn't expecting to feel that way, which was encouraging.
I thought that was the best I've seen from Elliot Lee for a few games, Nathan. You know, he has moments in every game, but I feel perhaps he'd been a bit more quiet over the last few weeks. But I mean, he was the one who had Charlton's first real opportunity when he cut in with that curler that whistled just wide, and he was always busy, never stopped running in the game. And I thought he was really good today.
Yeah, Luke popped up in a load of good positions in that in the game today, and I think also, you know, the midfield, you know, with Gilby and Dobbo as well, we just look a lot more fluid now, and there's a lot more energy. They can get around the pitch a lot easier, which at the beginning of the season we weren't really doing that. We used to have two sitters, and we was more or less inviting us, you know, the pressure on. You know, with Dobbo playing quite deep with Watson sometimes, and then Morgan was that bit more advanced, but we just wasn't fluid enough. And What that does is it gives Elliot a platform to get into those pockets of spaces. And yeah, he was so close with that shot. But when he's on the ball, he offers that something, you know, he offers something different. And he can pop up in any sort of space and can start attacks and build it from there. So yeah, no, I was really impressed with Elliot today. And because it's hard, you know, because in that position, there's going to be a lot of times where he's going to be man-marked because they know what sort of skill he has at this level. And he's a good player at this level. So, yeah, impressive from Elliot today.
Yeah, and he was the one, of course, who set up that massive chance for Jonathan Lico. That was the difference, I guess, between the two sides, is that when Jonathan had that chance there in the first half, he didn't put it away. But when Norwich City had the chance in the second period, they don't miss those ones.
Yeah, you look at the players that they had up top at that point. You know, Timu Pukki, we've seen him do it time and time again in the Championship, and he's had his moments in the Premier League as well, and obviously that composure for him to just slot it across, and we, as you say, just lacked that final thing, which is the same thing we saw against Wickham last week, same thing we had down at Plymouth just before Christmas. And as I say, I'm not worried, because I don't think our standard in terms of our football has dropped at all. It is just that final third. And as I say, I don't blame Burstow, because he's young, and Leko isn't, I still don't know technically if he is a forward, really. He's more of a wide player. So, look, we're struggling for strikers. We all know it. And as I say, until one of those other two or both of them are back fit, or we sign somebody else, we're gonna have to make do. And unfortunately, we talk about the likes of Gilby or Lee having a better game. They're not weighing in with enough goals yet. From midfield and from wide areas as well. DJ, for example, hasn't got a lot either. So we are having to rely on those two up top. And when they're both out injured, ultimately that's going to make it a lot tougher. And that's what's proved the last three games. So, yeah, that was, as you say, the difference, really. I think that was really the only decent chance. I know Henderson then went on to make a couple of saves later on. But really that came against the run of play, because that first 20 minutes of the second half, 15 minutes of the second half, we had been absolutely dominating and just couldn't get the ball in the net. And they have one counter attack, and that was that. So yeah, frustrating really, because it just felt like they didn't deserve it at all, I didn't think.
Yeah, and we spoke about the sort of side that Norwich put out, and there were five changes coming into it from their last game in the Premier League where they got beat at Palace. But, I mean, three of them between them had already made basically an entire season's worth of Premier League appearances so far this season, Nath. That includes Tim Krul, the goalkeeper, who had a lucky old escape with that shot from Alex Gilby, which he somehow shovelled over the crossbar. But it's not like, you know, we're not talking about a performance here that was against the Norwich City under-14s. I mean, this was a fairly strong Norwich City side. And all right, they're not a very good Premier League side, but if they're in the Championship, the likelihood is they'd be in the top six. They tend to win it most times they're in it. So that's sort of where you need to gauge this. This was certainly against a team that should be better than we are, and we played just as well as they did. If not, well, I think, but we played better than they did.
Yeah, 100%. I think with Norwich, and yeah, it probably wasn't their best 11, if you can call it that. But like you say, you've got Tim Krul, an experienced goalkeeper, played in the Premiership a lot and international level. Kabaka was at Liverpool a couple of years ago, and obviously Grant Hanley, who's an experienced player at least Championship, and he's played in the Premier League for obviously Blackburn and Norwich. So yeah, you can only play what's in front of you, and you know, we've got to remember, you know, the guy who scored Rashica was, what, £9-10 million signing from Bremen or something, third of Bremen. So they've got Premiership quality in that team, Timo Pukki, you know. So, yeah, but, and like I said earlier, we can go out and, you know, have our heads held high, I think, 100%, because it's not easy to do that. And we've got to remember, we're in League One. We're going to have a lot of League One sort of players. If we didn't, we wouldn't be in League One. Well, we would, you know, be Championship or try be in the Premiership ourselves. So we've got to take a lot of heart from it and I know it's disappointing we lost and I know we didn't score, but I think sometimes you just have to sit back and just let it cool down a minute, have a cup of tea, and then just sit back and go, do you know what? We have a good go there.
We got to burst into park life there. One of those players we can talk about from a Charlton point of view, Mason Burstow. With those injuries to Connor and Jaden, which we'll hear about from Jacko later, he was thrown into the side. And actually, I think we saw everything from him that we wanted to. We saw exactly the sort of promise we got. We saw him causing a lot of, he was a real handful up there. Had that long-range shot that, for a second, it looked like he was arrowing in to the top corner. Then at the same time, I think we also saw why he doesn't play League One week in, week out, starting just yet, because he tired towards the end, made a couple of naive decision-making, like which you'd expect from an 18-year-old striker. But I mean, what potential we've got there, and I'd say overall, what a good display as well.
Definitely, yeah, he did himself proud. I thought he's obviously only really seen him in brief cameos so far, but to go up against, as you just said there, someone like Grant Hanley, who's full of experience and is a kind of a no nonsense defender, and I thought he handled himself very well for someone so young. As you say, caused them trouble. He's quick. He works hard. He chases the ball down. You said a bit earlier, I think he won a couple of headers as well when the balls were played long. And as you say, it was maybe just that decision making, which again, for a young player, that does take a little bit of time to come. But he wasn't afraid to have a shot. You mentioned that long range one. There was another one where he kind of got down and shot across goal. So yeah, he's not scared to have a go. And that sort of confidence is encouraging as well. So yeah, I hope when he came off he was proud of his display. You're right, he did start to get a little bit tired, and again, as a youngster, that's maybe not a surprise. But he's not someone we want to have to rely on, and he shouldn't have to be relied upon too often. So once we know a little bit more about Connor and Jaden and whether we can get any business done, you know, I'd expect that he will sort of be a bit part player this season, and I think that's right for him. Not because I don't think he's good enough, but because, as I say, we shouldn't be relying on somebody of that age. But yeah, he should be very proud of his display today, because I thought he was excellent and really caused them a lot of trouble up there.
Yeah, we should just mention the goal, I guess, for the visitors. Rashica tapping in from close range. It's all really about Timu Puku, who came off the bench, and you know, he's a headline striker in the Premier League, and Norwich had to bring him on to make a difference. You know, I mean, that just goes to show how seriously Dean Smith saw he had to take it, particularly in the second half.
It didn't bring him on that, you know, with 10 minutes to go chasing the game, he brought him at half time. So I think that speaks for itself, really, on how Dean Smith thought the game was going. And yeah, that's what won him the game, was that little bit of quality, that little bit of composure from Timu Pukki to square it for Rashica to tap in. But again, I felt, you know, even in the second half, we were the only team that were going to score. I felt, as Tom mentioned earlier, I felt reasonably comfortable, which is a bit weird me saying that, considering they, yeah, I know they're bottom in the Premier League, but they're the Premier League, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think that bit of quality showed for them and has got them into the next round. But yeah, I mean, if we had that little bit of composure in the final third, it could have been a totally different story, but we didn't on the day. And agree with Tom, I thought Mason carried himself very well. You know, in fairness, you had Davison on the bench. Could he have, Davison started ahead and Mason to come off the bench? But I thought Mason probably done well in the Pepperoni Hawaiian Trophy or whatever it's called. So, yeah, no, I thought he carried himself well. And it, unfortunately for us, it was just that little bit of quality from the old Pukki up top. That's obviously won it.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, let's hear then the thoughts of the Addicts manager, Johnny Jackson. I spoke to him pitchside after the game. He agreed that his team gave it a real go.
Yeah, they did. I thought we was the better team, to be honest, for the majority of the game, and certainly had the better chances in the game. Thought we was front foot dominant for large parts, but, you know, we're out of the cup and it's disappointing because I feel like it's an opportunity missed today, I really do.
So just that Premier League quality showing that Norwich probably only really needed one chance and Charlton had three or four that went begging.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's been the difference today. You know, we've created a lot of chances, situations, but we haven't been able to capitalise. We've won the ball back in great areas because of our press and the way we set up to go and win it back. I think it worked perfectly, and that's credit to the lads that they implemented that. But then it's about what do you do with it when you do win it back, and we got to have that ruthlessness that we're just obviously lacking a little bit at the minute, because they've had very few chances, but one of the ones that they have had, they've managed to stick away, haven't they? So
it was a real cup tie atmosphere inside the venue. I guess a lot of that was the fans feeding off the fact that your team was so in the faces of Norwich in the early stages.
Yeah, absolutely, and it always happens when you give them something to you know, to cling to, and you show that fighting spirit, they get behind you, and they've done that throughout the 90 minutes, and then my players fed off that as well. And it was a really good game, really good atmosphere. I'm really proud of the performance.
See, you were missing,
but,
sorry,
yeah, but I've lost, and we've lost, and that rankles because I don't like it and I don't think we deserved it, but we should have done more.
We'll come on to Connor in a minute because he was missing, but Mason Burstow came in, ran up top for an hour. What did you make of him today? It's a great, great opportunity for a young man like him.
Yeah, I was really pleased with him. I was really pleased for him that I gave him the opportunity to go and start a game like that. I mean, what an experience for the lad, and he didn't let me down. I knew he wouldn't. I thought, yeah, he ran his socks off. I think he was cramping up again by the end, but, you know, that's to be expected on an occasion like this. And yeah, he done great. Him and Lico, you know, they really caused a few problems for him, and was a real handful. Obviously, with the other two guys missing, it gave them an opportunity, and they done well.
And what can you tell us about Connor and Jaden? Obviously, it's your first choice front two, are both out. What's the news with Connor first?
Connor's just been feeling his hamstring a little bit this week, and game come too soon. Hopefully, it's not too serious. Hopefully he's available for Wednesday, but yeah, I mean, I just wasn't ready for the game, couldn't take a risk on him. So obviously it's disappointing when, you know, you are missing your front two, because that takes a lot of goals out of our team, doesn't it?
Yeah. How did Jaden go on with the specialist?
It's a tricky situation with Jaden. The type of injuries that he's got is it's not straightforward. So we're we're hopeful to have him back before too long, but it's something that we need to get right. Physios could tell you more about the injury. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but in layman's terms, yeah, it's a tricky one that we have to monitor carefully, and hopefully have him back sort of within the next few games.
Finally, because I know the Moose will be impatient. What can you take from today for the rest of the season? There's only a couple of games where Charlton have just been edged out last couple.
in the league, but performance levels, especially today, was right up there. Can you take that back into your league form now, and even perhaps a Papa John's trophy as well?
Yeah, of course. Well, I just keep saying to him, I feel like I'm stood here after the Wickham game again, like saying the same things though. We've been dominant in the game, and if we keep playing like that, we will win more games than we don't, that's for sure. But it's another one that I'm stood here saying that we should have won, not even drawn, like we should have won that game, and we haven't. We've got done 1-0 when we're out of the cup, so it's bittersweet. Like, I'm really proud of the performance and proud of my players, but at the same time, like, I'm disappointed because we should be through, should be in the next round, but we're not. So we have to look at ourselves for that and ask ourselves what we're going to do better. But yeah, I can take heart. I know if we keep playing that way and they keep giving me what they're giving me, then we're gonna be all right.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is there, heads it away. Can Lee pick it up? Yes, he can. Ahead of Kamara, now sends Washington on that right-hand side. He's in space, Washington. Into the area he goes. Can he drill it home? Yes, he can! Oh, Connor Washington! Puts on, tune it up. And could that be the game? A lovely ball out. Connor Washington on the run. Burstow is in the middle. But Connor Washington drills it home.
Charlton Live. Welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. We're looking back at the FA Cup defeat against Norwich City at the Value, 38 places between the two sides in the pyramid before kickoff. But well, you wouldn't have known it judging by that performance from the Addicts. They gave it a real good go, Charlton, but they were knocked out in the end. I mean, Jacko rightly proud, but at the same time, when you hear his reaction there, Tom, it was frustration because, I mean, he didn't really see it as a game like us fans do, where we go, well, we're playing a Premier League Norwich City, really proud of what we did. He's just looking at where, you know, he's proud of the performance, sure, but he's looking at the shortcomings and thinking, actually, we're similar to what we've seen in recent league games. So it's great to see him sort of looking at the game like that and not accepting just playing well if we're not going to score and make the most of it.
Yeah, and he's obviously got to think about Crewe and Cheltenham this week because, you know, they're back to the league, which is where our focus is. And if we're going to win those games, obviously we need to score goals. And we haven't been doing that recently. So for him, he can be pleased with the performance and rightly so. But he's got to be thinking, right, how do I now get goals into this team? Because, as I say, we want to be at this show next Sunday talking about 6 points from two games. And as I say, we're only going to do that if we get the goals. But I think that disappointment, I said it to you boys just before we started the show, I went into this game thinking if we lose, I'm not really going to be that bothered. But actually, by full time, I was really frustrated we'd lost that game because I didn't think we deserved to. So I'm sure there's an element of that in there. You know, he says in his press conferences, he goes out to win every game as well, which you'd obviously expect. He picked a strong side. But as I say, if you're not scoring goals, then that is going to be a concern for him. And I know it sounds like Connor will be hopefully back for Crewe. You'd certainly think by next weekend he'll be back. Jaden, we just don't know about. But, you know, if that's the case, then he, as I said a bit earlier, he has to find a way to get goals out of midfielders. Like, do we need to try and get Lee a little bit further forward? Or for me, it's just taking that shot and making that decision. Because the same thing happened against Wickham last week, where we're getting around the edge of the box. And yes, Wickham closed us down, but there are a couple of times today where we were on the edge of the box and people were just afraid to shoot. And maybe that's part of the problem as well. So, yeah, he's always going to be looking forward and always thinking about the next game because he's the manager. And as you say, us fans, we can have a luxury of sort of reflecting on a good performance, but for him it's about the points, and as I say, when it comes to Wednesday night, we need to score some goals, so I'm sure that's what he'll be thinking about, and how does he get that out of the team on Wednesday.
And as Tom's mentioned there, Nath, obviously there will be a case that we're likely to be without Jaden for the foreseeable. I think, you know, Johnny's not given a great deal away other than saying it's a bit of a complicated one, which isn't I don't know. When he said that to me, I was sort of, doesn't sound too good. With Connor Washington, he says, hopeful maybe he might be back for Wednesday with a tight hamstring, but you don't risk these things, and I wouldn't be shocked if he wasn't. So that is going to be a bit of a pickle for us over the next few weeks.
It is. I mean, because the options we've got at the moment is, as we saw today, we've got Leko, who can play up there, but he's not a sole striker. We've got Mason, as we've already mentioned. He's played a lot of minutes. He was cramping up. So, and then you've got Davison, who, you know, I thought there was going to be a little bit more from him. I think there was a couple of games he played all right, but I think his last performance in the league wasn't much to be desired. But so, yeah, we are in a bit of a conundrum at the top end of the pitch, and it shows that by us not scoring many goals. But at the moment, we don't really much... don't really have much of an alternative. So we need to make it work. And what we did today is we're to try and get in the channels. But we need either Mason or Leko, if they do start on Wednesdays, one of them needs to stay a bit more central. Because they're quite similar. I know, obviously, Mason's a bit bigger than Leko. But, yeah, we just need to try and find a way of playing. And maybe need some others to sort of chip in. You know, Gilby's, you know, he scored the other week. But maybe we need some more, which Lee nearly did today. But we just need to sort of contribute a little bit more apart from Purvin, because I don't think Purvin is probably up there with in terms of goals this year. So
he's got four, hasn't he? It's not far off Connor and, well, he's a little bit far off Connor and Jaden, I guess. But he must be the third highest goal scorer off the top of my head without having the stats in front of me. Let's have a look at some of the messages then that have come in. The Laps Nerd on Twitter says, we were the better side for a massive majority of the match. It was one of the best performances I've seen from the club in some time. Super proud of the boys, and if they can play like that the rest of the season, then the top six might not be out of reach just yet. And that is something you'll hear. I did ask Jacko at the end of the interview, Tom. But, I mean, there's always conversation when you have a good cup performance about, will this now translate into a league display? I mean, will they look at that performance against Norwich and think, yeah, we're going to Crewe now, let's play like that and we'll win 4-0?
I think they should certainly go out of today's game with some confidence. You see the reaction of the fans at the end of the game. Nobody in the stadium was disappointed with that Charlton performance, I don't think. They, as I said earlier, handled themselves amazingly well against, for all we slag them off, and rightly so, they are a Premier League side we've gone up against. So, yeah, I think it can do. But as I say, I don't think there's been a whole lot wrong. I know this kind of split opinion last week, but I didn't think we were that bad last week either against Wickham. So I think those performances have been there anyway. It's just about, as I say, the only difference in recent weeks has been the lack of goals. And there's a very clear reason for that. So I'd like to think that the confidence is still up in that dressing room. And certainly there's nothing today that should dampen that confidence, because they played very, very well. And it's just the case of getting the ball in the net on Wednesday night. So, yeah, I think they'll go there with high confidence.
Lovely stuff. Right, Chris says we need to get a striker, enough said. And that is a bit of a recurring theme in some of the messages we've got. Jimmy said we were the better side, no question about it. We play with Stockley and Washington, and it's an easy win. One of these days where the score really doesn't reflect the performance. Still a very entertaining game, in the words of my mum. At least you still have the Mamas and Papas Cup. There we go. That's a new name for it as well. We've got loads of them. Yeah, I think Roger wants to see the striker coming in before Wednesday, if there's any chance of that happening. Gower says, I thought we put in a good show against a team who are realistically a championship side. Showed what JJ is about. Certainly played for the shirt. Just lacked a bit of quality up top. Good to see us actually get some shots away. As the last few weeks we've been so shot shy. James said we played well and looked by far the better side for most of the game. Defence broke up play nicely. We held possession well. Nice chances in the box though went unfinished. Another 1-0 clearly demonstrating the need for an option at striker. finished a chance in the first 45 and we would have gone through. Johnny says, never thought I'd come away from that feeling disappointed with a loss against Premier League opposition and points where we were by far the better team, but we just didn't have the experience to put it away. Shows that we need a striker even more so now with Stockley and Washington out. Simon says, much the better side for a long period of the game. But as with last week against Wickham, we lack a cutting edge in front of goal. Lee does a lot of good work, but his deliveries from set pieces has been below par for a few games. Now, having said that now, very proud of the team. Stuart says we need to find a goal scorer to complement all the hard work that the boys put in today. It was a good performance from the lads. So Les says, I'm not sure we deserved much from the game, but don't think they deserve to win it either. If we weren't so toothless up front, we could have won, but without Jaden and Connor, we never really looked like scoring. A draw would have been a fair result, and there is, of course, always the Pizza Cup. A couple more messages as well. Get ready, Nathan. Ali says, spoke to my dad after the game. He was listening to the BBC London commentary and was very complimentary about Louis and Nathan, who he described as obviously not a neutral, but mentioned Nathan shrieking when someone went in for a tackle. What was all that about? And then Ashley says, we didn't deserve to lose on another day. Perrington's header goes in and we have extra time, just how it goes. Also, Nathan on the commentary almost gave me a heart attack and blew my ears out with that late tackle from the Norwich player towards the end of the game. Nathan, got any ideas what they might be talking about?
Yeah, I'd like to apologise to any listeners that every time I seem to go on commentary, there's always something that I do is lasted all the way to the end.
Yeah. It's unfair, isn't it, that it's only those who listen to it live got to hear it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a that is an unfortunate occurrence.
Yeah, here we go then.
Oh, no.
Turns beyond his man, Lee, hugging the left touchline. Claire now, back to Elliot Lee, space to run in. Horrendous challenge.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, it's a left-footed swipe from Jacob Sorensen. At the very minimum, it will be a yellow card. My pregnant wife. You know, you scared the life out of her as well, Nathan. I hope you're proud of yourself.
Well, the thing is just for the context, that was literally the foul which led to Hendo coming up and taking the free kick where we subsequently hit the bar. But yeah, I just sometimes get a bit too in the game, forget where I am sometimes. And so I apologise if I did scare anyone, if I broke any glasses or smashed any windows because of that high street. I didn't know I could go that high. I've done it before, but I didn't know I could do it that high. But yeah, apologies to anyone who I've damaged their ears.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, we've got another interview for you guys after the game. Ryan Innes came out to speak to Charlton TV and then myself afterwards. So we've got Ryan speaking about the game to Charlton TV. Then I just picked up a couple of questions afterwards. But this is, first of all, Ryan, on his thoughts on the cup loss against Norwich.
Yeah, it's very disappointing given the way we played. I think the boys were excellent all over the park, the way we started, the crowd got behind us. But I think the gaffer mentioned it, we can see it in the change room there. Obviously, the last few results, bar the MK Dons one, our performances have been a lot better than the result we've ended up with. But it's about winning football matches at the end of the day.
You certainly set the tone for an FA Cup clash in the opening 10 minutes of the attack. And I imagine after the last few months, probably been a bit frustrating. How good does it feel to be back on the pitch doing what you do best?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I want to be out there as much as I can. I just want to thank the staff, especially the physios and the doctors, just giving me everything I need. Obviously, I want to be out as much as I can. It's frustrating. I think at times people forget that no one wants to be injured. I want to be able to give everything I've got, but it's not about me. It's about the team. Obviously, they've given me the platform to come in and they've been playing well, so it was easy to slot in. But to go in, I knew what my job was, whether it's on the left side, middle, even coming on up front. The boys have set the tone and it's given me the hunger to come in and do the business.
Looking back on those 90 minutes, it felt like a display that epitomised the Charlton DNA, and ultimately the difference being just unable to break that deadlock and find a clean finish.
Yeah, it's like what I said, you can play as well as you want, but if you don't get the 3 points in the league or advance to the next round, in a couple of weeks' time or a couple of months, you look back at the fixture, it's still a loss. But take nothing away from the application today from the boys. I think if we can nail that again on Wednesday against Crewen and going into the weekend, I think, you know, we can give other teams a real
test. How are you feeling after coming through the last couple of games? Obviously, you've got an hour on Tuesday and then 70 minutes today, so you feel like you're getting closer back to the full fitness now?
Yeah, of course. I thank the club, obviously, they're managing me. I've come off at different times in both games. I go out there and give everything I've got, and I just want to keep building my fitness. But I think we've got to be smart. You can't just go out there, crash, bang, wallop and do as long as we can. We're just looking at the fixtures and we're going to see what entails for me moving forward. But whenever I'm selected, I'll try and give everything I've got.
You weren't afraid to dive into a few challenges as well, the Ryan Innes that we've known and loved since you've come to the club?
Yeah, that's it. I'll always be the same. I think, you know, I can be smarter in situations. Maybe why I've had a few injuries in the past, but sometimes needs must if they're breaking through. And these long legs have paid dividends for once, getting the ball there.
Yeah. You talked about, obviously, your future. I guess the immediate future is about trying to break back into the first team now. You had minutes at Plymouth when you came off the bench, obviously. And is it a back three? There's three spaces available. Do you like playing in that system? Do you feel like you could fit into that system?
Yeah, I want to test myself. I want to play anywhere, whether it's in the middle, out on the left, out on the right. Listen, the boys have done terrifically well, but it so happened today that Atkins obviously couldn't be selected because of his parent club. So obviously, however the opportunity comes around, you need to take it. And obviously, I wanted to do myself justice today for however long I was out there, and I hope I've done that.
And obviously, in terms of longer term, am I right in thinking your contract's up at the end of this season? So that means this rest of this season about making sure you play yourself into getting an offer.
Yeah, you've touched on it there. Listen, I've got goals. I've set goals for this year. I absolutely love it. I'm not just saying that. So the club have looked after me, so it's all about getting appearances and setting a benchmark for myself and hopefully earning the extension that the club have got on my contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there like a trigger to extend?
Listen, I might obviously speak to my agent, but I know the club have got an option. So if they were to take that up, I'd be over the moon. But also, you know, obviously I've got to give myself a platform for whatever the future holds. But I want it to be here. But if I can stay fit and play games, it gives myself a real chance wherever it may be. But I hope it's here, yeah.
Really, really interesting stuff there, Ryan. You know, it's getting to that stage of the season now where we start to ask the players who are going to be out of contract about their hopes and dreams for the next season and whether they're going to try and play for a contract. And with Ryan, it's a very interesting one, of course, because he's been so unlucky with injuries, Tom. So for him now, it's all about trying to prove his fitness. You know, I think he's worth to the team. I think that's known. I think if he's fit enough to play, then performance-wise, we'd keep him, no doubt. But for him, it's about trying to prove that fitness. There is an opportunity for the club to trigger something. Or if Ryan, you know, if Ryan plays well enough, he can almost effectively force them to trigger it by making himself unreleasable.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with all of that. I think in terms of what he offers the side, there's no doubt he's a good player at this level. As I say, some of the tackles he put in today where I was convinced that they'd managed to get away. And even in that first couple of minutes, he put a real cruncher on their number 10 to put the ball out for a throw and just let him know he's there. When he came on against Wickham last week, he was, you know, proper chasing some of their players down when he was up front. So when he's on the pitch, I think he's a real handful. He's got that aggression, which I like. He's surprisingly quick as well. And obviously, he's got that height as well and that physicality. So ticks every box for me, other than, as you just said, his fitness. And he's been very unlucky with the injuries. And we've had that before with players. And you've got to decide whether really you can take that risk, because you probably have to bring in another centre-back as well to make sure that you've got that cover there. So personally, I think he's worth keeping, particularly if he continues to play for the rest of this season without any too much trouble. I think he's worth another season at least. But that's what he needs to prove, because ultimately, if he's only going to play 10-20% of every season, it's probably not worth the investment, and you go and look for somebody who's a little bit more reliable. But quality is there to see. So yeah, I hopefully those injury worries are behind him now, and if he can just work on it, on that fitness, and be a bit more consistent in terms of game time, then there's a very good player in there for sure.
I mean, obviously, Nathan, we knew we were going to be without Akinfenwo today, so if this was a league game, you'd imagine Akin would have started ahead of Ryan Innes, and Sean Clare's done brilliantly on the right-hand side of that back three. But I mean, can you see a scenario in which he does play his way back into contention for the league games this season?
Possibly. I think the thing is with Ryan, he's such a threat in both boxes. Sometimes in his own right becomes a little bit undroppable, and it's just a shame, if you guys have spoken already about his, you know, his injury record, which is unfortunate, and you know it happens. But there could be the only thing for me is, if you do play with Akin, Piercy and Ryan, what you lose quite a lot of maybe athleticism, I'd say. You know, I mean, obviously Piercy done well today, but he's probably not the most, isn't gifted with pace. Ryan isn't a slouch, but again, he hasn't got too much pace. Akin is. But I think the way that Sean's playing at the moment, he's playing like that sort of, not as you know, extensive as our Sheffield United play with the wide centre back, but he offers that sort of balance because you can go to from a three to a four with and without the ball with a back four. So I think he just offers that little bit of flexibility. But there's by, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he stays fit and we can play three at the back. We'll see it. It just we might need to adjust the balance a little bit in terms of our midfield because I don't know if Sean likes playing there because obviously he came to us from Oxford because he didn't like playing right back. But he's been absolutely brilliant since he's come in. So hopefully Ryan can stay fit. I just think it's the case with Ryan is that we can't rely on him to do Saturday, Tuesday, which I think at times we tried to too much, but we didn't really have much alternatives.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's have a look at some of the emails that have come in as well. Alan said, Jaden and Connor played today and we would have won. Nothing between the two teams on the day. The difference between our players and Norwich is that their touch is better on the ball being in the higher-up leagues. But other than that, Norwich will not win another Premier League game this season based on that. Needed their better players on to turn it their way, but felt the longer, again, we don't score that they would end up with a goal. We gave it a good go, but we're just missing the final ball and the goal. Michael says, a disappointing result, but we gave a really good account of ourselves today. Standout performances from Dodson and Clare in particular. So close to getting that equaliser and triggering Limbs at the end, but it wasn't meant to be. With Stockley and Washington in the team, we probably would have won it. Urgently need cover for them. Either Norwich should be down in League One, or we're back at Premier League standard again. I mean, how do we pitch that Norwich side, Tom? I mean, they're not a Premier League standard side, unfortunately. I like Dean Smith as a manager. Said something weird afterwards, though. I mean, I almost played the clip, but he implied that we didn't create a lot of clear-cut chances. I don't know if that was him just trying to rewrite history ever so slightly, just because Norwich have scraped past us there. But I mean, I can't imagine he would have seen that first half and been overly delighted with what he saw. And maybe it was just a little bit of managing his side and just taking the win, basically, and trying to hope that they take some confidence out of that into going to play West Ham on Wednesday night.
I think that's exactly what it is. He's a smart enough manager to know how that game played out. And I think when he goes home, he'll admit that they didn't deserve to get through that round. But you know, he's doing that thing, I think, of protecting his players and just trying to, as you say, breed a bit of confidence and maybe make out it was better than it was. I went with a friend who's a Norwich fan, and she said that they're like that every week. You know, they're just not a good side. There were a couple of Norwich fans replied to my tweet and said, we're like that every week and we didn't deserve to win. As I say, I don't think I'm overstating it to say they're one of the worst sides I've seen down there this season, and they're supposed to be in the Premier League. It must be hard for them, because then, as you say, when they get to the Championship, they kind of walk it every year. So they're a really weird side. But for me, they just don't, I just don't really know what they're doing. They just don't look like they've got any sort of plan at all. And obviously, they've won the game, so I feel a little bit silly saying all this, but they're just not good. I can't, honestly, I'm trying to think, and I know Ipswich were bad as well, so maybe it's a East Anglia problem, but Cambridge United did all right, didn't they? But those two together were just awful.
Yeah, I was going to say Cambridge flew the flag for that part of the... Dimi Mitov in particular made some wonderful saves, the former Charlton goalkeeper up at St James's Park. Right, Carl said, a cup game where the team gave their all but fell short. I am probably in the minority, but I felt disappointed with that second half display after bossing the first half so well. I think we got a bit carried away at the start of the second half, and by giving the ball away a few times in our final third, we allowed them to grow into the game. The bigger worry for me is it's the third 1-0 loss on the spin, and the fact it's stupid mistakes in matches that are costing us the games. The goal itself came from a mistake between Gunter and Pierce, with them going for the same ball on the halfway line, and when they're then a man short at the back after they run into each other. As an attacking threat, we looked poor. Again, we worked the ball into great positions, but Leko, DJ, Gilby all failed to look up and pick out their man, and the chance has gone. Our set pieces reached a new low. Not only does Lee not beat the first man, we are now playing it around and losing it. That free kick at the end of the first half was ridiculous. We had everyone up, Lee and Dobson mess around with it, and then the ref blows up for half time. I can't blame the players for their effort today, but mistakes continue to cost us at both ends. I mean, obviously, you know, we will make mistakes. Unfortunately, we are a League One side. That corner at half time goes without saying, that was very silly. But yeah, I mean, you can understand frustration. Sometimes it is with us recently a final third thing. We've mentioned our midfield doesn't score enough goals. That goes without saying.
Yeah, we don't score enough goals for sure. When you could look at the when you look at the attributes of our players, you know, Lee scored goals before, Gilby scored goals for MK Dons, and for whatever reason, it's not happening at the moment. There's still time, and now it's a perfect time for them to try and get onto the score sheet and try and help the team out. But it's hard because I don't want to criticise the midfield for not scoring too much because they're doing so well in all the other sort of aspects of a play, those three, because they've sort of been mainstayers or the first names on the team sheet, really. So, yeah, it's tricky because I understand the point as well. It is disappointing, but I think in a weird way, it's being disappointed in the right way or for the right reasons, if that makes any sense. It's not, you know, disappointed because we got battered and conceded a last-minute goal. We literally, it was good value for money, and we've just, that little bit of quality let us down on the day. So, but we go again, go back to training, and we'll try and turn it around on Wednesday.
Right, and Andrew says, at half-time, he said, the best bit of today's game, at half-time, the guy that does the sprinklers turned them on the Norwich subs warming up on the pitch twice. The blonde player with a man bun got quite annoyed. Also, the touchline spat between an Norwich player and one of our subs, Gunter. Yeah, it was Gunter and Hanley, I think it was. Then he says, not so enjoyable. We could have played all day and not scored. Our subs weakened us, but bringing Pookie on strengthened them. Great show, that's from Andrew. Yeah, cheers, Andrew. Yeah, I missed that spat, Tom. I don't know if you had a better view than I did. I was sort of updating my notes, but it seemed to be Hanley and Chris Gunter got into a bit of an argument about something.
Yeah, the ball went out for a throw-in, and I don't think it looked like Gunter was just trying to pick the ball up to give Hanley it back. He certainly weren't trying to keep it or time waste or anything, but Hanley sort of, I think Gunter was sort of bending down at the time to get it, and Hanley just pushed him over, which obviously made Gunter fall over, and then he got up and squared up a little bit. It was, yeah, I mean, we know what Hanley's about. He's that sort of player, isn't he? Just winds people up, and yeah, I don't think Gunter did anything wrong, but Hanley was clearly annoyed, I think, about how Norwich were playing. So maybe just letting out a little bit of frustration because it was still 0-0 at the time. So yeah, it was a little bit of something and nothing really. But I thought the ref was a bit strange in how he managed the game anyway, because he booked, was it Ryan Innes got the booking very early on? Certainly someone did. And then there were a couple of other bookings for our players, but I felt like Norwich were making very similar challenges and not really getting cards. So it was a bit of an odd one, but I would have thought if you push over a sub at that point, then Hanley should have been booked. I know he got booked later on, so yeah, it was a bit odd, really. But as I say, in character for him.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, we should look ahead, really. Crew coming up on Wednesday. We're travelling up to the Mournflake Stadium, I think it's called now, up at Crew, at Gresty Road. You know, after the sort of exertions today, Nathan, I guess that will be a struggle, but it is a three-day turnaround. Crew haven't played this weekend, so they'll be a little bit more rested. We know what we're going to struggle with strikers. I mean, the first question, I guess, is does Mason Burstow start or does Josh Davison start alongside Jonathan Lico, which is, I'm guessing, the way we're going to see it?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I assume, obviously, if Mason was cramping up, it just depends how he recovers, really, and we've also got to try and not burn him out too quick because obviously, he's still developing into a man, and we don't want him to break down by overplaying him and then getting another injury and then we'll literally have, just at this moment in time, we've got Josh Davison and Jonathan Lecco. So I'm not sure. It wouldn't surprise me if he just goes for, even if he goes to maybe Josh Davison and maybe Lecco, or you never know. Maybe he'll try and fit Charlie Kirk in somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Crewe are sort of languishing down there. They've lost a few games. They picked up a win against Morecambe over Christmas. But, yeah, they've had some time off, so they could be a bit ring rusty. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Davison gets a go ahead of Mason Burstow. I'm not saying Mason Burstow don't deserve to start. I just think we've just got to be wary of his minutes and the intensity that he's running.
Yeah, they've won three of their last seven, which is a marked improvement for a Crew side that had only won once in the league before that the entire time. But I mean, we put them to the sword quite comfortably. Even Nigel Atkins could beat Crew earlier on in the season. I'd imagine Norwich would just about give them a game as well from what we've seen from both teams, Tom. I think we've all probably just about written us off in the playoff race now. But I mean, if we are to play our way back into it, then away to Crew has to be a 3 points, if not four or five somehow.
Yeah, and as you say, we've already beaten them once already this season. I didn't think they offered much then. So, Yeah, we have to go and try and get three. As I say, I want to be sitting on this podcast next week talking about 6 points from the next two games, because we can't. I pretty much have written the playoffs off now, but if we are going to make it, we can't really afford to lose many more games at all this season, which is obviously a tall order. So, yeah, you would hope that we can go there and give them a game. But as I say, the most important thing is getting back amongst the goals. And as I say, obviously you need to score to even have a chance of winning. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the side that he puts out. It'll be interesting to see if Connor is back in time. As you say, whether he goes with Davison or Burstow or mixes it up a little bit more. But whoever it is, as I say, we just need to start scoring again. And yeah, hopefully we can start the week off with a win on Wednesday. That'd be good.
Excellent stuff. Right, been a long old day for me and Nathan, Tom. We've been at the game today, done the podcast as well. Thanks to those of you who have tuned in for this evening's show, and those of you who sent your messages in straight after full time as well. Got a few there. That was really good of you to get in contact straight after the game. Thank you to Tom and to Nath for joining me today.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate.
Absolutely a pleasure to speak to you both today. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Thursday to look back at whatever happens against Crewe, and then ahead, of course, to the trip to Cheltenham on the weekend. We look forward to speaking to you then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.